Genesis 45, verses 1 through 5. Your bad made me better. In life, we all experience unpleasant, bitter moments. We experience sickness, death, foreclosures, rejection, repossession, divorce, everything that someone else has experienced, that thing is possible to one day knock on your door. When that thing knocks on your door, the fact that it's knocking really isn't important. Because the truth of the matter is, when it knocks, you got to know that God sent them or it to your house. And if God has sent or allowed Satan to come to your house, to your door, knocking, that means that God has enough faith and trust in your spirit, man, that he knew you would be able to stand. Number two, what that also means is that Satan knows you. I don't want to get ahead of myself for what I think Sunday is, but I want to make a statement tonight, and that is, Satan knows, or he should know you by name. When you are in a relationship with a person, they know you. Well, what relationship are you in with Satan, you ask? It's an adversary relationship, one in which I pray, I hope, that every opportunity you get, you're kicking his butt. Yeah. And so, because that's the relationship that you're in with him, he know you. He didn't get to know you when you bought a new house, and you bought a new car, and you got a new job. He got to know you when you didn't have anything, and the car wouldn't start, and the roof was leaking, and you were on one knee crying out to God, but tearing his tail up at the same time. That's when you got to know him, and he got to know you. And so God will allow us sometimes to go through things in life, and as we go through things in life, sometimes those things will get the best of you in a particular season. When they get the best of you in a particular season, it's very, very important that you don't get bitter. When you get bitter, your focus changes and you begin to stop looking at God and begin to look at what's going on. Instead of getting bitter, be determined to get your blessings. Amen. Now, the problem with blessings is that they'll make you stretch for. They won't come to you. You got to go get your blessings. And so in the midst of going through something, God will fix a situation and say, reach beyond what you think you can go. You see, sometimes we're in a comfort zone and God is putting something there for us, but he's putting it just beyond our reach. See, God wants us to trust him. And when I say trust God, I mean to a point that if this thing doesn't work, I look like a fool, but I know my Father. So I know it's going to work out for me. I may have to tarry here for a little while, but God is going to show up in my life. But God is going to get in my situation. And it makes no difference how I got here, I still can trust God. God's blessings is not predicated on your righteousness. God's blessings are predicated on a covenant agreement, covenant promise, in which he entered in with Abraham. Now, when God entered into that agreement with Abraham, Abraham had absolutely nothing to give him but faith. Isn't it it good to know that the one thing Satan cannot take from you is your faith in God? You may give it, you may surrender, but he can't take that from you because it's not his to take. It belongs to you, and God is requiring of you more faith in him. When you begin to go through something, be careful that you don't miss your blessings dealing with a fool. What a fool does is present to you the same package every time. But they're really not the fool. We're the fool when we take it the third time, and the fourth time, and the fifth time. You see, what we're going to deal with tonight is forgiveness. But don't get me wrong. Forgiveness is not trusting. I can forgive you, but that doesn't mean that I'm trusting you. You know, sometimes people have children, and their children are what we would call crackheads. And so one time they stole your TV, sold it, and smoked it up. And you hear, give them another key. Don't you know they're going to do the same thing again? And then one day you come home from work and everything in your house is cleaned up. You go next door, you ask your neighbor, what happened? And the neighbor says, all I heard was something beeping. That was the truck coming to get all your stuff. I can forgive you, but I don't have to trust you. Now, Joseph entered into this little relationship here tonight with his brethren. And it's kind of a strange relationship in that they didn't like Joseph. Don't be fooled. Every brethren, whether blood or spiritual, don't necessarily like you. I know you sit in church and think, oh, we just want a happy family. Don't be fooled. You can be in a relationship with a person, but that doesn't stop them from sticking you every now and then. Now, the truth of the matter is, it's not all Joseph's fault, because his dad kind of messed him up. His dad presented something to him, and it was a coat of different colors, many colors. Joseph went to his brothers, and he began to tell his brothers how pious he is, how much better he was, and all these wonderful things, and how they'll bow down and they'll worship him. You got to be careful when God begins to bless you. You keep your mouth shut. Amen. Sometimes you can say a blessing, but somebody else is waiting to block it. Sometimes what God gives you is not to be released yet. And so when you tell it, Satan steps in and he begins everything he can to block it. And you wonder why your prayers are not moving. It's because Satan is blocking that thing. And so you begin to cry out to God, and God, if you please help me, if you please do this. And the truth of the matter is, Satan doesn't care how much you cry. He doesn't even care about you. What he is about is to stopping the anointing that is upon your life. Because if he does nothing and mess around and lets you get to the season, to the place or the mark of grace in your life, he's through. Because within every last one of us is a ministry that is going to flow out like a river. And so when God puts you in a place, not only is it a blessing to you, but it begins to flow to other people. And so once that blessing begins to flow to other people, if Satan doesn't stop it, now he has lots of people to deal with. Now he has a prayer team to deal with. Now he has a prayer circle to deal with. 101, he can keep you at bay. But when you touch and agree in the spirit, the Bible declares Jesus shows up. When Jesus show up in your mess, he has the anointing on his life to change your whole situation. Oh, yeah. Joseph dealing with his brothers, and it's a long story, won't get into it, but nevertheless, his brothers sold him into slavery. Or though they thought. Sometimes people will try to sell you out and sell themselves short. Sometimes people think they're hurting you. All they're doing is setting you up for a blessing down the road. I want you to think about the worst thing that happened in your life. The thing that you just knew you would never get through. And God, look at you now. Look at what God has done in your life. Look at what He brought you through. Look at your paycheck now. Look at your friends now. Look at the smile and the joy in your life now. See, you had to go through that in order to get this right here that God had in store for you. See, sometimes when pain comes in your life, we need to stop, sit back, and say, bring it on. Because I know the God that I serve, He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. The God that I serve, I know He's going to supply all of my needs in the midst of going through. The God that I serve, I know if He says go to the other side, I may be abused, but I'm going to make it to the other side. I may be rejected, but I'm going to make it to the other side. Because if God says go,
amen.
He's already made the way.
Amen.
Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. When they sold him into slavery, he ended up in Potiphar's house. He's in prison. He's then released from prison. When he's released from prison, he goes to work in the house. When he's working in the house, Potiphar's wife come along. He's an attractive man. And so now the wife wants him, but he has character. He has the type of character that he could do something and get away with it. But how many of you know you really can't do anything and get away with it? It's just a matter of time. Now, I don't want to talk about you tonight. I just want to share with you a little bit about me. And that is, God somehow always brings the thing back to you at the worst moment. God, why you didn't do that last week? Why you got to do it now? And what God is up to is the process of purification.
All right.
Now, the process of purification is kind of a simple process, and I'm about running out of time, so I need somebody to pick up at verse number 1 and read for me, please.
Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried.
And he cried. Now, the first point that I want to leave you with tonight is that is in the process of purification, there will always be a release. When God is dealing with you, a release will come. By release, I mean He'll always bring you to a point of forgiveness. Until your heart is right, God can't deal with you. So the first thing He has to lead us to is forgiveness. Now, forgiveness really has nothing to do with who's right and who's wrong. It has to do with, I'm not going to carry this thing, because God says if I cast all my cares upon Him, that I know that God is able to take care of it. And so the first thing is to release it. And so what He does is, in His way of releasing it, He cries out to God. Now, I want to talk about the difference between emotions and feelings. Emotion is how my heart feels. Feeling is what I think. Some folk can lie to you and make you think that everything is all right, but they haven't changed. They're dealing with head and not heart. But when God really presses into you, He wants your heart to cry out. He wants your soul to cry out to Him. And when your soul begins to cry out, that's when God says, now you're ready to change. It's not about the tears. It's about the heart that God is after. And so I don't know if you ever found yourself going through something, but when you're going through something, it seems sometimes that your heart gets heavy. It seems sometimes like your heart starts crying. crying. And when your heart begins to cry out to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I confess my sin. Then God steps into your situation when you cry out. Keep reading.
Because every man should go out from me, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brothers.
There stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known to his brother. Now, when it says that he made himself known, it's not just a natural thing.
Right.
Oh, I know who Charles Fields is. It's not that kind of knowing. It's, you know what you did to me. You know the test that God allowed me to go through. Now I'm still standing. The test is now a testimony.
Amen.
You can't have a testimony.
Amen. Amen.
He says, I know who I am. I want you to know who I am so that God can get the glory.
Amen.
And so what he made known is I'm still standing. You need to go into Satan's camp tonight and tell him, in spite of what you did, I'm still standing. Do you know? Do you know? I'm still here. You tried to take me out. The car flipped over 5 times, but I'm still standing. Cancer stepped in, but I'm still here. Do you know my testimony?
Amen.
Keep reading.
And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?
Listen to the question. Point number two is this. Reconciliation. He goes from release to reconciliation. Reconciliation is a season or a point when people are open to hearing you. When you wrong someone and you ask for forgiveness, reconciliation brings you back into communion. Communion is when we come into the same union. We're together. We're on one page, on one accord. Now, what's Joseph's question to his brother? And the question, Miss Pam, is, what about my father?
Does my father yet live?
Does my father yet live? You got to get this now. Now he asked him earlier, do you know? In other words, you know what you did and you know I'm still here. The next question is, does my father still live? It's not that kind of natural question. It's a spiritual question. You know what you did, but isn't God still alive? Isn't I'm still alive? And I'm still standing tonight. So his question wasn't about his earthly father. It was about his spiritual father. Won't he make a way out of no way? Ain't God able to do anything? Won't God take you through anything? The question is, ain't God still alive? He's not a God in heaven. He's right here on earth. Is God alive? He wants them to testify to the goodness of God. Testify to the strength of God. God is still alive.
Yes, he is.
He's not talking about biological father. He says, is my daddy in heaven? Is he still alive? Is he still up to good stuff? Is he still up to miracles? I want you to know that my God, the one that I serve, baby, he's still alive. I may be going through something. I may be almost dead, but my dad is still alive.
Amen.
Keep reading.
And his brethren could not answer him, but they were troubled at his...
They were troubled. In other words, they were amazed that he was still there. Sometimes when you think people are staring at you, they're really not concerned about you. What they're concerned about is, I thought Charles was dead, and he's still here. You see, what they really want to know is, how are you still standing? And so they look at you and they're troubled because you made it through. Everybody else quit, but you're still standing. And everybody else gave up, but you are still here because of the goodness of God. In other words, you know your father is still alive. And because my dad is still alive, baby, I'll do some amazing things. I'll do some amazing comebacks. I'll do some amazing bouncing back because my daddy is still alive. When folks look at you and they're troubled by you, it's because there's an anointing that is upon your life. And they can't figure that thing out. And they can't figure you out. And they're still trying to wonder, how is it you keep getting back time after time? You keep bouncing. bouncing back. One layoff after another layoff, but you keep landing a better job. How do you do that? Because your father is still alive. Keep reading.
Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near.
Joseph said to his brethren, come near. The next point, point number three, is restoration. Restoration is when God gives it back to you. Be careful. Restoration is when God gives it back to you. That it is what Satan took away. That's all restoration is. Restoration is just to get it back. Restoration is just to bring you where you started from. I don't know about you, but I don't want God just to restore me.
Alright.
Because the truth of the matter is, when this whole shebang started, it wasn't that good then. Now give me some credit for walking through this hell that I've been through. Don't just restore unto me, Lord, but replenish me, the next point. Give me some overflow. Give me some abundance. Give me something so that I can be a blessing to the next generation and the next generation. And what Joseph said to his brother is that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. In other words, God sent me ahead of you because he know your crazy self was coming after me, but he still loved you. He sent me. He sent you because you were strong enough to endure. What you're going through is your name on it, and you better believe Satan can't stop you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So he says to his brother, he says, come here. He begins restoration. Come here, I want you to know, I'm Joseph. And when they see this Joseph, they're afraid. They think he's going to do something crazy. And he says, no, don't be upset. Don't be angry. Don't be scared. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. God simply sent me ahead of you because he can trust me to be a good steward. He sent me ahead of you, switched my little position, took me out of the prison, put me in the palace. I'm talking to somebody. You know that house wasn't always as good as what it is now. So he took you out of the prison. The stuff that used to have you barred up. You know, the alcohol and the cigarettes and the sex and every... Oh, don't act like I'm talking to myself. Now, all that stuff that you were in the prison with, God says, I'm going to pull you out of the prison. I'm going to put you in the palace. Now, when folk come to church and see you in the church working, they say, now, ain't she the same one? Yes, I am. But God has the ability to change me. Same one. See, but God loves it when we got a little dirt and we acknowledge our little dirt. The problem is too many church folk, we too cute, I never sin. Baby, I'm struggling tonight. So he said, y'all got to excuse me for being real, but I ain't got time to play. He says, y'all sold me into slavery. Verse number 5 again. Watch this. Number 5. It says, now. Now. In other words, y'all sold me into slavery. But look at me now.
All right.
See, you didn't think I was going to amount to anything.
Amen.
But look at me now. See, when I was a kid, and you know, folks see you and say, boy, you're going to be just like your daddy, you're going to be just like your uncle, you're going to be just like this person. No, baby, I'm going to be like my daddy. Look at me now. Still got some stuff going on, but even so, my daddy still covers me. In spite of my ups and downs, God still loves me. As a matter of fact, because of my ups and downs, that's why he gave Jesus Christ on the cross so that he...
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Can make my little wrong right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And he says, God sent me. God sent me. You sold me in closing. You thought you was in charge. I'm glad tonight that God is still in control of my life. God is still in control of my life. I may go through something, and sometimes it don't look good when I come out of it. But thank God, he can fix some stuff. I'm just glad that God is a God that we serve. And when we serve Him, He doesn't point the fingers, ask you how you got there. He says, baby, I'll take your bad and I'll make you better from your bad stuff. Don't worry about nobody else bad. I'll take your bad and I'll make you better. And the better that I give you, I set you up for a blessing. Now, don't get killed now. It's not about you. I'm just blessing you to be a blessing. And that's why God is releasing things. Everybody going through stuff. Everybody sitting here talking about unemployment, talking about the 401k, and hear your crazy self sitting here, and you got an overflow tonight. How you do that? Some of y'all don't even have a job, but God's still making a way out of no way. You better give Him some praise tonight. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Let us stand in the presence of God tonight.